Welcome back to Tip TV Finance, where I'm joined by the business editor of the IB Times, Gaurav Sharma. How are you today, Gaurav?
Good morning. Good to be here on Halloween.
Right. Yes, it is one of my favourite days of the year, if not the favourite, apart from my birthday, obviously. Right. The oil market's come back a bit. I was a bit shocked.
Yes, indeed. But they appear to be spooked right now, the blast from the past. It seems the former Saudi oil minister, Ali Al-Naimi, his book is supposed to come out on the 3rd of November. So, you know, we like to do things in advance at Tip TV. We've gotten hold of it.
He gave you a specially signed
Let's say that his press people certainly did. So we got hold and we like to discuss these things up on Tip TV. And it actually accurately sums up why we can't take it at face value that on the 30th of November, everybody will just hold hands and there'll be a kumbaya moment and we'll have a cut in production. I'll have to read this out for legal reasons to be on track. Now, what Mr. Al-Naimi writes in this wonderful book, his memoir, it goes by the title of Out of the Desert, charts his journey as a shepherd boy all the way up to the heart of oil. For 21 years, he was the man. Whenever he said anything, the markets moved. So he recounts the morning after the Lehman Brothers crisis, and he said it turned into a rout. For the first time in the world, the oil demand was going to decline in 25 years. So as usual, some external cooperation was required from non-OPEC players, i.e. Russia. So he reached out to Igor Sechin, who was then the deputy prime minister and chairman of Rosneft. And apparently the two men agreed that the Russians would cut 300,000 barrels per day. But here he goes. He says, the reductions never took place. The Russians did not follow through on their promises. Not only would they fail to make their agreed cuts in late 2008, in March 2008, Mr. Sechin would be claiming to be decreasing supplies, while according to another Rosneft official, Peter O'Brien, they would confirm they were on target to raise their production 2% year on year. This flags up the difficulties. That was then. Fast forwarding to the latest crisis, which, you know, the current downslide began in earnest in July 2014.
Yeah.
So he claims that November of 2014, he again sat down with the same Russian official. And apparently, again, there was all sorts of dilly-dallying, all sorts of non-OPEC people, the Mexicans, the Russians, and everybody else saying, oh, we really can't cut. So Mr. Naimi did what really started this guy. He just got up, he shook hands, he said, it looks like nobody wants to cut, the meeting is over. And he stormed out. And then started this decline. This highlights, although the man is recounting his version of events, and if you recollect, there was another meeting with the Russians and Saudis in April this year. That's not very cleverly mentioned in the book, is that Mr. Naimi then scuppered it by insisting right at the last moment that the Iranians partake in it. So I'm not saying this way or that, but it highlights the complexities. It harks back to what we were discussing a fortnight ago on Tip TV, is that the Russians appear to be on board, and it might be a simple case of them coming together and working out a cut. I'm afraid, Zach, it's not going to be that simple.
Right. So it's a situation where the Russians and basically most of the other producers just need the cash so badly that they have to keep on pumping.
I think monetizing will take precedence, but of course for us in the wider media analysis, well, somebody will turn up on stage and say, oh, we're cutting. As Mr. Naimi demonstrates, he told Bloomberg that he's cutting back in 08, 09, but apparently their production was up 2% year on year. And if we have a look at the oil chart, the one chart that I sent, and here we go. We've begun sliding again because the analyst community is once again losing faith in the fact that these guys will actually come together on the 30th of November and come about with some sort of a cut, a tangible cut, not a cut made for the cameras. So where is OPEC here? OPEC is about little in excess of about 34.5 million barrels per day. They're proposing a cut to 32.5 to 33. Well, that's 1.5 million. What will that do? Support the price, give it about $10, let all the shale guys bank in, hedge for another 12 months. We back here. Who knows? We could be back at 37 where we started the year and kept going lower.
I'm in a situation, though, where this market is going to fall ahead of the 30th of November meeting or going to squeeze higher. I mean, those are the two.
It looks like it, unless somebody makes another clever quip, it is a falling market. As of now, we're down 2% from Friday itself. So we're seeing a decline. So West Texas is below $49 and Brent is below $50. So pretty much all the gains, that if you look at the chart and we trawl all the way back to, say, the 7th of October when we last spoke, it went up, it crept up gradually. As usual, you can see the green line that OPEC will discount whatever the two leading benchmarks are doing. And now we're in a declining trend. So again, I think it will slide considerably, but some one of these guys will come out and say, oh, we're talking again. So there'll be some to's and fro's, but I think by the time OPEC sits down again on 30th of November, you've got to have a real pickle on its hand.
Right, so really it's, is there, just fine, is there any relationship between the oil price and what might happen on November the 8th? Is there anything there?
Oh, well...
It's fallen, you know, over the weekend when we've had that email revelation.
Well, it's, I would say the US presidential election, if it's, it's doubtful, but if it's Mr. Trump, then he's very pro-oil. If you're talking Hillary Clinton, I think she's, taken the side of Keystone XL pipeline and all should be black, blocked. So in terms of sheer oil market policy, both candidates are pretty much on even keel, and Trump is more pro-oil than Clinton. In terms of the macroeconomic impact, that is, I would say, an unknown variable. I think it's having an impact on it, but I think the oil market's more looking to the Federal Reserve rather than the shenanigans or rather either side of the 8th of November. After all, Mr. Trump has said he might not accept the result.
That's nice. Well, I'm gripped by this book, Ali Al-Naimi's Out of the Desert. Hopefully one can get it W.H. Smith or whatever it is very soon. But in the meantime, Gaurav Sharma, business editor at the IB Times, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
We'll be back after the break.